may begin. So, my name is Ross Donlan. I'd love to welcome you all here to this afternoon in the launch of Vinnie Holmgren's. Holmgren's. I have a bit of trouble with the Swedish, Norwegian, or Danish. What's the correct pronunciation?
Pardon?
What's the correct pronunciation?
Holmgren.
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 Holmgren. Yes.
Don't worry, Ross. People do all sorts of dreadful things for that name.
That's right. Yes, I have trouble with Donlan, so I sympathise. So it's great to see the room full here for Vinnie's latest book. Maybe a couple of housekeeping things, maybe the mobile phone. I think anybody has maybe forgotten to turn theirs off, then that would be good. So we don't have a little poem from outer space pop in on your mobile. And if you're interested to know where the loos are, they're down the end of the hallway and around to the left. Now, the order of going this afternoon is that after I've finished, we'll pass over to Nola Firth, who's going to launch the book for Vinnie, and then the lady herself will say a few words. She said to me something like, I've got a few things to say for myself, so I'm sure she will. And I've also had some emails from people who wanted to be remembered to you and to wish you good luck today. Michelle Lieber. Michelle Lieber from Melbourne.
Yes.
Said to give you her very best. And Jeff Page.
Jeff Page, well, yes.
All the way from Canberra.
All the way from Canberra, yes.
Lovely comment about you and wished you all the very best for today.
Oh, that's very nice of him, yes. I got on very well with Jeff.
Oh, yes. He's a great
yes, guy. He's a wonderful guy, yes.
Yeah. And you're a wonderful woman, so there's a very good combination. Isn't it a beautiful book? Just a lovely production. And I don't know who took the photograph. Who took the photo?
Rick.
Yeah.
Rick is responsible for that beautiful production.
For the production.
Yes.
And I noticed it's, it says published by Vinnie Holmgren herself and the address there in Hepburn. Sort of lovely kind of complete feeling it is to have your poems inside and then be responsible, I imagine, in good part for the design. And the friend doing the photograph on the cover. And it's just a very elegant book, isn't it? It's a lovely photograph and exquisite poems inside that I'm sure you're going to really enjoy this afternoon. Now, I'm going to introduce Nola Firth. I had the pleasure of launching Nola's own first collection not so long ago in Melbourne. So I'll tell you a little bit about the remarkable launcher you're about to hear. Nola Firth is both a poet and essayist. She's a recently retired academic who spent many years in the field of development of awareness and support for students who have dyslexia. Her work has been published in national and international journals, media and books. More recently, her work has been published in literary journals and poetry anthologies, including the wonderfully named Kill Your Darlings, like that one. For Rhino in a Shrinking World, an international anthology, and the third Australian haiku anthology. Nola was runner-up in the 2012 Castlemaine Poetry Prize, and just lately she got a highly commended
in the Castlemaine
Poetry Competition. And she was commended in the Dangerously Poetic Byron Bay Writers' Festival Prize this year. She holds a PhD. She's a Churchill Fellow and an Honorary Fellow at the University of Melbourne, and it's just a delight to introduce Nola Firth to you to launch Vinnie's book. Nola Firth.
Well, thank you, Ross. It's a delight to be here. And a great privilege to be launching Vinnie's latest book. And I was Ross has already talked about how beautiful the actual book looks, and I'd like to say it again because I really do think that's the case. The poems are tiny, like tiny treasures, and I think the book itself
as well is so suitable to that. And the layout, when you later on buy it, which I'm sure you will, hoping you will, you'll see what I mean. The picture on the front is the tea house where Benny was when she wrote the poems. And the photograph was taken by Rick, and so you've done a wonderful job. I'd really like to acknowledge that. So before I talk more about the actual tea house poems, what I'd like to do is to talk about Vinnie and the breadth and depth of the poetry that Vinnie has written before she wrote the tea house poems. I think about 6 months ago, maybe a bit more, but not so long ago, Vinnie moved down to Victoria from Bega in New South Wales.
No, it was longer than that. Yes, it was about 20 months or so. And I wasn't in Bega, I was in Panville.
Okay, good. I liked it. And the first time that I ever saw Vinnie was at the Castlemaine Poetry Readings, which are copied by Ross. And I'm, as you can see from the introduction that Ross gave, certainly compared to Vinnie, new to the, you know, to the community of poetry. And I didn't know about Vinnie, but what I was reading in the open section, and so was Vinnie. And when it came time for Vinnie to read, she stood up, she read forthrightly, she read without the microphone, and she read from memory. And I thought, there is someone remarkable. I wonder who that is. And so then, when it came about that I might have the opportunity to launch Vinnie's poems, I went to meet her at her house. And there I found a woman with sparkling eyes who said to me that she was an unlettered wanderer who had left school early. And Vinnie had also a copy of my Even If the Sun chapbook that Ross was showing you before. And the first poem of that is called In My Father's House, and it's about my father. And he left school at 14, and he was someone who would have loved to have drunk further at the fount of education, and he had no such chance. And so I think that Vinnie and I had a kind of understanding and connection.
Indeed.
My father went on to write A Background to Beechworth, which was the first history of Beechworth, and it's still on sale today. There have been other histories written since. So he wrote one book, and I think he was very pleased about that. He educated himself, and he wrote this book in 1950, that was. 52, probably. However, beside Vinnie, where she was sitting in her chair, there were 8 books, and all of them were written by her, except for one which was co-authored. And I realised very quickly that Vinnie had written a great deal and published it successfully. One of the books that I'd like to draw people's attention to, I don't know whether you people know all this already, but I did not. This was published in 1995, I think. It's quite significant, I think, for someone to be writing that kind of genre in poetry at that time. And then the next book that I found out about was this one called A Sense of Direction. This is non-fiction. This is Vinnie's journey around Australia by herself after her children were grown up, when her husband had died. And it includes she went down the Oodnadatta track. This was not in the 1970s. She said in the book, and I think perhaps speaking to me as well, I forget which, but she often got the comment, what is a lady doing by yourself in a place like this? You know, in the 70s, I think now for someone, for anyone, and for a woman to be travelling alone in the outback is not usual. But certainly back then, it wasn't. And it's also a good read. And I think if you don't know Vinnie already, you'll begin to realise she is a woman of great courage and independence, I believe.
Or stupidity.
And fun. The other non-fiction book in this wonderful pile is a co-authored book of women's writing called And They're Still Falling, Women's Voices for the New South Wales Southeast Forests. And this book, and also some of the other poetry that I've now read by Venny, made me realise that Venny is an activist, or has been an activist poet. She has written, she has borne witness on the subjects of the Holocaust, the environment, and the horrors of war. And at my request, Venny then sent me her literary CV. And I found that she's represented in 30 anthologies, including Page 17 and Famous Reporter. In the 80s, she read at La Mama, along with Kevin Brophy. And in Melbourne pubs, her co-readers included Geordie Albiston and Myron Lysenko. Since then, she's presented her work, sometimes also taught poetry, in many places in Australia. She's read on radio and at festivals, including at the Overland Poetry Festival, and was recently a featured poet at Words in Winter in Daylesford. She's read in India on an Australian-India Poetry Exchange project, and in the USA, Germany and Canada. She was highly commended in an international poetry competition judged by Judith Wright, who she knew, and who she came to know, sorry, and twice won the Avril Smith Writers of the Far South Coast Poetry Award. Now, as an introduction to the Tea House poems, which is what I'm actually here to launch, I'd like to read you two poems from her book, Peasant in January. Now, this is another wonderful book if you don't know about Venny's poetry. It was published in 1995, and it's full of really good poems. Is it still available?
Still around, yes.
I might add that in this book, although I won't read them now, is a poem by Venny, and this is, you know, nearly 20 years ago, about a poetry slam. Some that do not go straight down the page. One about number plates on cars. One that is a breakdown of the number and type of dishes washed during her life. Another about a mastectomy experienced by a friend. And another, more than one actually, about her widowhood. And Venny, I think, often has written as a woman and about women's issues. Sometimes, however, Venny chooses subjects that others may pass by as ordinary, and they're the ones that I want to read now. The first one is called Silhouette. Silhouettes, sorry. Most weekday mornings of that summer, after the men had gone to work and the children to school, their well-polished shoes twinkling down the footpath, we gathered, little ones at heel, at the garden gate of the one whose house was in the middle. Five women in five different shapes, sizes, and states of expectation to talk a while, delay the moment of return. Nothing exciting ever happened, save that once a neighbour, postmenopausal, appeared on her veranda, camera in hand, and called, "Stand sideways for a moment, ladies, please." I think it's what Venny doesn't say that's important. And the second and last one from this that I would like to read is called Letter to a Fond Relation.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Send me, I beg you, no more possessions. My tiny refuge is crammed beyond measure with paraphernalia from all of the years. Walls are already stretched tight, and already the mind, restless and fevered by thoughts of long night, paints vivid impression of children, grandchildren, sifting, re-sifting, for treasure in trivia, diamond in dust. Send, if you must, repeated assurance of your love for me, although even this is superfluous now. So send in simplicity, brevity, words to lie warmly under my pillow through a chill winter night. And I think that this simplicity, This brevity is to be found in the Tea House poems. And they are, I believe, words to lie warmly under a pillow through a chill winter night. Veni has, I believe, after many years of living and writing poetry, indeed honed it down. So I'm going to read four. There are 70. I'm going to read four. If anyone has the book already, no, you don't yet do. It's page 49, the first one. Some people do. Tidying my papers before the move, I find long-forgotten photos from one of the many of my previous lives. I think this, I mean, the poem I read before, the last one, I think, is the perspective of an older person. This is nearly 20 years later, and this is a person writing about older age. And I think it hasn't been done, and I think it's really important that it be done. Well, this is page 41. Well into October now, and still the days are cold and damp. What is this climate that I've come to in old age? And I don't think it's just the Victorian climate. I realise I missed out saying that these poems were all written while Veni was living in the tea house pictured at the front, waiting for her own house to be finished. And the picture of her own house is on the back. And she was undertaking the daunting task at age 90 of moving away from her friends and community in New South Wales to begin a new life at Hepburn Springs. And I think the poems reflect that transition, including its pain. Now, two more, the last two. This one's page 19. Sometimes I think Veni's poems are wonderfully enigmatic. This is one of them. Ripples on the dam, geese and black ducks circling each other. Are they friends or foes? And the last one. Page 17. Today I look in the mirror, observe the deeply furrowed field that is my face. But yesterday, my grandson, tall, beautiful, and smooth of skin, wrapped his arms around me, said he loved me. So in launching and celebrating this latest of her publications, I want to express Veni's considerable contribution, I believe, to Australian poetry. She is a poet, I believe, of great ability, and her contribution is considerable. And I have much joy with us all here today in telling her that we love her, that we do appreciate your poetry, and in launching the Tea House poems.
I'd like to thank Nola, first of all, for just a wonderful, warm, genuine launch speech. You can tell that she meant every word that she was saying, and also for the lovely taster that there was of some of the other poems in Vinnie's other books of poetry. It makes me think we'll all want to go having a bit of a look through at the end of today to, you know, to read those as well. But now it only remains for me to introduce the woman of the hour. Let's have a big bookshop in Dalesford. But more than that, I'm not going to get this exactly right, but I know he has a wonderful background as expert in Chinese poetry and Japanese poetry as well. And I know when Vinny mentioned that one, there was a sort of a Chinese-like or Japanese-like feeling to the poem. And it made me think, actually, that, both the time... No, actually, in real life, was called The Tea House. But it makes you think, doesn't it, of tea ceremonies and Japan, perhaps. And I think there is a sort of a Chinese-like quality that elegance and simplicity, and yet still greatly moving in that simplicity in her poetry. So once again, let's congratulate and thank Vini Holmgren warmly for the wonderful book that she's given us.